TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Raised by Wolves.
Yes, it is. Welcome in, Raised by Wolves, Danny Cunningham, and a very excited Dane Moore in studio today. The All-NBA news came down a little over an hour ago, and in case you missed it and you're just listening now, this means that Nikola Jokic was named first-team All-NBA center, Joel Embiid was named second-team All-NBA center, and Rudy Gobert was named third-team All-NBA center. Why am I only naming off the centers? Because Karl-Anthony Towns was not one of them, and that's what we're here to talk about.
Where do we start? I mean, there's so many issues I have with this, but I think probably as it pertains to Timberwolves fans, it's good news.
Yes.
You have, starting this season, where, as we've talked about at length, a very pinched financial situation now has $5.5 million more flexibility, and that only goes up. Year over year, Kat's contract now is just 5 years, $158 million, where it would have been $5,190.
I love how you say, oh, it's just 5 years, $158 million. Like, that's still a lot of money.
It's a big difference.
You're right, it is. But it's also funny to think about it that, oh, it's only $158 million.
This is the way I think about it. Mm-hmm. They've essentially been given a coupon or gift card for $6 million a year that they can apply to any bad contract they have on their books. So take this year, for example, where Andrew Wiggins is making $27 million.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's only 21. Or Jeff Teague, that goes from 19 down to 13. Because bottom line, Kat was worthy of this award. It was close.
Yeah.
And I know different people go different directions. That's a whole separate tangent of how the voting
goes.
And
we'll get into it.
Yes, we will. but it's good news. It's really, really good news for the Timberwolves. Had Kat made it, I mean, their hand is almost forced to trade one of those players, which I, side note, think is a good idea.
Sure.
But it's less forced now. They're only $7.1 million over the salary cap, whereas it would have been another five and a half more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a little bit more flexibility that it could be the difference in bringing back Tyus Jones.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, right? Isn't that about Tyus's market value?
Yeah,
about five and a half?
That's something that I think when we had been speculating on whether or not Carl was going to make the All-NBA team in February, March, and April,
but
Tyus Jones is the name that just repeatedly comes up, is that, well, that's his kind of his figure. That's the ballpark for what I think both of us and probably more people than that expect him to get this offseason.
Yes, absolutely. I still think it's not that great. There's still going to be picking and choosing between re-signing your free agents like Tyus, Derek, Taj, Luol, all those guys, and using the mid-level exception on free agents.
Mm-hmm.
But this is better. This is better for them. For Kat, it stinks.
Yeah.
I'd be wildly frustrated for a bunch of different reasons.
The biggest one is you're missing out on $32 million.
Yeah.
I would be wildly frustrated too.
Rudy Gobert is a great player, but when we're looking back at this 10 years from now, I feel very confident saying that Kat's going to go down as a much better NBA center.
Sure.
And that he was this year as well. The Wolves totally fell apart, and a lot of the people who voted on this award missed Kat dominating after Tibbs was fired.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference.
How much does the winning aspect matter about it, too? Because, in part, I think a lot more eyeballs get on the Utah Jazz, and I'm not saying that the Utah Jazz are a team that's on national TV all the time, because they're not. But the 100 people that vote on this, the media members that do, I think you have to expect that they all have league pass. Like, they all have the ability to watch any single team on any given night they want. But if you're deciding between watching the Utah Jazz, who are a team that won 50 games, versus a non-playoff team, or the Wolves against a non-playoff team, you're probably going to pick Utah just because, oh, they're going to be playing games that matter, and this one really doesn't.
Even amongst League Pass users. I mean, this has been something, this award's been something I've been tracking all year, and of the people I know who have votes, you know, it's been something I've been asking, like, hey, where are you at on Kat here in the All-NBA vote? And a lot of them, I mean, pretty much universally have said, you know, I'm watching less Wolves now since Butler got traded, or I'm definitely watching less Wolves now since Thibodeau got traded. And I get that. You kind of have to pick and choose your spots.
Yeah. There are only so many games you can watch, especially when you it's not as if they're us, where we watch every single Wolves game. We watch other games too, but the Wolves are obviously priority number one. I understand if you're someone that's voting on this that's not based in Minneapolis and not writing about the Wolves frequently, and let's face it, they're not a point of topic.
But that is the problem with this award.
Yeah.
Why are they voting on the award? Why are they making? I mean, this is great news for the Wolves, but what if it goes the other direction?
Yeah.
And you're paying an additional $6 million a year to Cat.
Mm-hmm.
Forgetting it. I mean, you would be you'd have a very legitimate gripe with all those voters out there who were the beat writer for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Like, how much did they watch Karl-Anthony Towns and
sure.
Rudy Gobert? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know, not specifically Cleveland, but
you just wanted to pick on it because that's where I'm from.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm looking at you. But it's dumb. It's a really, really dumb system, and the stuff is publicly available.
Let me stop you here, and what do you think is the better system? Because I think it's pretty clear that the players don't trust the owners in deciding who should be worthy of something like this.
Mm-hmm.
The owners don't trust the players in deciding who should be worthy of something like this, and by this I mean the Supermax contract, which we're talking about here. So it kind of seems as if the NBA feels that this is the best option of a bunch of really bad ones.
But you can make this option better. You decide who those 100 people are who vote on it before the season, and then they're tracking it along the way, and make it be 100 people who you feel confident are going to be watching the NBA at large, not beat writers, not guys who work for the Associated Press in a certain market or
sure.
this and that. Like, it should be national writers, or it should be some sort of committee that's put together that understands, like, hey, this is part of my job, and this is an honor to vote for this award.
And it is an honor now. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a huge honor now.
Yes, because you're labeled as probably one of the 100 best basketball writers.
Sure.
That's no small feat, but it isn't well established before the season. And I think people would admit that there's others out there who would be better suited to vote for this award. And this isn't just a Karl-Anthony Towns thing.
No.
Kemba Walker, Klay Thompson, I mean, anyone.
Bradley Beal missed out on a lot of money today.
It's huge.
And we're localizing this because obviously we're talking about the Wolves. We're in Minnesota. So
but there's us in Charlotte and other places
yes,
who are having the same conversation.
Exactly. It's not just as if, oh, well, Carl missed out. Well, a bunch of other people missed out too, and a couple other people made money based on this.
Yep.
So it's not as if this is just a specific Karl-Anthony Towns thing. Like, I had someone tweet at me today when I tweeted out the news that Rudy Gobert made 13, Carl didn't. This is what it means for Carl's money. And it's like, this is so stupid. Why would the Wolves make a contract like this? I'm like, it's not
but
a Wolves thing. This is an NBA thing. This is not specific to the Minnesota Timberwolves and Karl-Anthony Towns. This is an NBA
thing.
It's
in the collective bargaining agreement.
Yes.
And it's for the Wolves, again, localizing this, it was a bit of a negotiation to get Towns to agree to come back to the Wolves to sign a contract extension last summer.
I mean, it didn't happen until September 22nd, I think, was the date that he agreed to it. That's a long time for that to just kind of sit and simmer.
So they threw the entire kitchen sink at him. Whereas compare it to Devin Booker, who also signed, same class, same
mm-hmm.
thing. He signed a 5-year, $158 million deal. But there was no contingency plan in there for if he made All-NBA, it would go up to $5,190.
Yeah.
The Wolves did give that to Cat because they were trying to... That was the last thing they could give him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the rule was put in place to do.
And he's worth it.
He is. That's the thing. Cat's absolutely worth it. And again, I'd be heated if I were him.
Yeah. Well,
that I didn't
absolutely.
Get it. Like, because it's not even totally his fault. Put him on the Utah Jazz. He gets it. Like,
yeah.
On an individual basis. So it's just a flawed system that they need to change. And that the votes are publicly available is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. I mean, the market here... We had people here, and John Krasinski just said on Twitter that he turned down his vote because...
He's not the only one that did.
Because he doesn't feel comfortable voting for it, which is fair.
I don't know if someone in this market did vote because of that.
I know
multiple people did turn it down. I don't know if someone actually did vote.
Someone did, and I don't want... I mean, that will come out because this becomes publicly available.
Yeah, okay.
And it's... The thing is, the reason voters... may not vote for the award is because and I don't know what John's opinion was, Cat or no Cat, but say it was not voting for Carl Towns, that becomes publically available and it says mm-hmm. John Krasinski, The Athletic.
Your name is on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Or if it was Danny Cunningham, it'd mm-hmm. be the same thing.
My name would be on it.
Think about if it were you. What is that? What is your, as a beat writer mm-hmm. of the Timberwolves covering their best player, he has in his head with you the whole time, Danny Cunningham didn't vote for me.
He can look me in my eyes and think that I cost him $32 million. Even though the vote wasn't particularly close, he can still think that. And he can be justified in thinking so.
Which makes this a completely idiotic system.
Yeah.
It has to change. It just absolutely has to change because, I mean, the fascinating element of it is that Glenn Taylor also owns the Star Tribune. So Chris Hine is in between this rock and a hard place of, do I not vote for Kat and he sees that? Or do I vote for Kat and Glenn Taylor, my boss, who's also the owner of the Wolves, see that? Like, this is, they're put in a terrible situation. The media, there should be some sort of committee
put in place. And that particular situation is one of a kind. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen in every market.
That's true.
That is unique to here.
But it's a factor in this.
Oh, it is. It 100% is. But that's not something. That is only a conversation here. That's not a conversation in Charlotte or San Francisco.
Totally.
That is here and here only.
Right. It should totally change because, again, this is a good thing, but it totally changes the way the Wolves can pursue the next five off seasons.
Yeah.
For good. Yeah, you got a $6 million gift card.
If you are a Wolves fan, it's a bittersweet day because I think you want your best player to be happy, but it also helps the team, and there's really no debating that it puts the team in a little bit better situation. They're still not in a great place salary cap-wise, but they're undoubtedly in a better place right now at 2:41 Central Time on May 23rd than they were at noon today.
They now have $16 million to work with under the luxury tax line, which means, again, we brought up Tyus Jones. They theoretically now can sign Tyus Jones to like a $5.5 million deal and use the full mid-level exception on a $9 million player. If Kat made all NBA, they would not be able to.
Yeah.
And who knows exactly how it shakes out ever the other 5 years, but it's still a $6 million gift card. That's massive. And it isn't something that should be taken lightly. And I think the league, by setting this up in this way, has.
And I don't think this is what the league intended when they did this. I think that they thought, oh, this is a better option than owners or players deciding. Media is unbiased, which I think for the most part they are, but it's far from a perfect system.
Yeah, it's just like you're working in the lab and you test something out and you see that it didn't come together perfectly. This experiment fails. And if anybody should be like pro writers, pro media, it should be you and I. Like,
yeah, that's what we are.
Right. Like it, but it just objectively, it's not the right way that this should be happening.
I'm curious what they do. I'm curious if it does change in the coming years when the next CBA happens. I'm curious if that's part of it.
Yeah. Easy tweaks.
And I'm really curious if the league wants to look into that and what they think.
I'm just glad I'm not Kat today. And you know what? Like, hopefully not. But it's going to be pretty easy to a couple years from now, when everybody talks about the Armageddon situation of Kat leaving or demanding a trade, Anthony Davis style, to look back on that super dysfunctional 2018-19 year. Like, that cost, if you put a decent team around me, a decent coach, all that, like, it would have changed.
It's also crazy to think that without the Anthony Davis situation happening this year, we're probably not having this conversation. Because Carl was awesome, but I don't think, and I think you and I can both agree that Jokic and Embiid both deserve to be first and second team.
Oh, yeah.
And this was a debate between Carl and Gobert. But if Anthony Davis is in the picture, it's Carl and Gobert fighting for who's leading the others receiving votes category. Because
another stupid thing is, why is it by position?
That's the thing that does bother me, too, because so you're telling me that there are only three centers in the league worthy of this, potentially?
Right.
But there are six guards and six forwards? How's that fair?
Perfect example. Like, if Kat was listed as a forward, which you can make a pretty fair argument that he
plays a lot of power forward offensively.
Yeah, like when he's out there with, particularly the second half of the year with Gibson, like who's the center in that situation?
It's something that you can make a very fair argument that he plays a lot of power forward for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Just like
no way he makes it as a power forward.
Correct. Just like Anthony Davis was voted in as a forward, I believe. I think he was. I'm not positive on that.
Arbitrary.
But when they had DeMarcus Cousins on the roster, it's, Anthony Davis is a four now.
Right.
It's a very arbitrary
because
thing.
Cousins is tall. Like
he's thicker. like that's what it is.
Why is that?
I think Anthony Davis is taller than him.
Yeah. It's just dumb.
Yeah, but it's ridiculous that the center position is outlined weird. It's got a weird definition, and the fact that there's only three spots compared to double that for every other position.
Well, and then like when you talk about the all-rookie team, it's just the 10 best players.
Yeah.
Positions don't matter. So why do positions matter with all-NBA?
It blows me away that positions don't matter for that but matter for everything else.
What? Like, it's all defense? That changes up all defense too? And maybe not all of these awards are directly tied to salary, But being labeled
well,
as an all
defense. I don't think all rookie is.
No, it isn't. Yeah. It isn't. That's what I'm saying. Neither is all defense.
Yeah.
But that helps your likeness mm-hmm. to be on the all rookie team or on the all defensive team.
Sure.
You don't think that affects your salary negotiations as a free agent? Mm-hmm. All that? Like, these awards are important.
Yeah.
That's the bottom of the line.
I think we could make the case all rookies probably the least important because if you're making the all rookie team, you're structured for the next 3 years at least in terms of contract. And by the time you are hitting free agency, if you're really negotiating on the fact, well, 3 years ago I was on the all rookie team, I think you've got larger problems.
No, that's true. All defense maybe a little bit more.
All defense is different, yes, because you can win at any time. But if you're the rookie and you're negotiating, oh, I was on the all rookie team 3 years ago, I think we've got some negotiating tactics that you really need to work on.
Michael Carter Williams style, right?
Yeah, rookie of the year, baby.
10-day this year.
Hey, he played in the playoffs. But it's fascinating to me that that's not positionally done and that everything else is.
So what are you, like, how does this just immediately change your view of the way the Wolves, like, proceed going forward as far as, I mean, the draft, I guess, isn't very much affected by this.
Sure.
But
yeah. I don't think that this, I mean, because again, that's a contract that is structured. It's mm-hmm. going to be what it is no matter what. And as long as they're picking 11th, it was going to be
$4 million.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's not as if they needed to try and change that because of Carl. That was going to be what it was going to be. But they do have more flexibility now, as we've talked about. And I think that that's a really good thing for them. It helps to open some things up because I'm a firm believer that unless you are a championship caliber team and you are legitimately, if you can look yourself in the mirror and say, we can win the Larry O'Brien trophy this June, mm-hmm. then if you can say that, then luxury tax it up. But if you can't, you have no business being there. And I will always defend owners that don't want to go on the luxury tax when their team is just not that good.
But still, so they can theoretically use the full mid-level mm-hmm. on a guy and not pay the luxury tax.
Yeah, and that's a great thing for this team. It's not, and they're not going to obviously still be able to lure a star or anything, but they can get a better player now at 247 than they could have.
Right. It totally changes I'm sure in the Wolves front office they had multiple whiteboards of, like, you know, storyboarding it out of mm-hmm. if Cat makes it, if Cat doesn't, and the if Cat doesn't now has a lot more interesting names
yes.
on the free agency market. I mean, you want to throw out a Patrick Beverley at a point guard position at the point guard position. That's a need. Trevor Ariza, Kelly Oubre is one I've thrown out. Like, those guys are more top.
Kelly Oubre is restricted, right?
He's restricted, yeah. But you could still use your mid level.
Yeah, but I just didn't know if he could be matched or not.
So it's just you kind of. Obviously, we're not talking about the top end
yeah, they're,
talent.
The breaking news, guys. They're not going to be talking with Kevin Durant
or Klay Thompson or anything like that. But there's a pretty big difference between talking about Trevor Ariza versus James Ennis.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, something like that. And that's literally how the conversation shifts.
Yeah.
Can they convince one of those more top-end guys to come? That's still part of the battle. But you can have the conversation now.
Yeah.
More interesting names, bigger names will come in for workouts with the Wolves or negotiate contracts.
And with such a big premium on shooting today and shooting getting more and more expensive by the day, I think that this is a really big thing because that's an area of need. Mm-hmm. We've talked about before, and I know you've asked this to people in the Wolves before, like, their front court, they can shoot, but they have no one in the back court that can shoot from deep. And that's a huge problem in today's NBA, but now that could potentially change.
It'll be interesting to see how they try and address that via their incumbent free agents
mm-hmm.
because none of those guys are really shooters. Tyus, Derrick Rose, Taj, Luol Deng. I mean, Tolliver would be, but that's a big. You know,
where
so,
you've got a healthy, I assume, yeah. Robert Covington, Dario Saric, Carl. Like, you don't need much more shooting in the front court.
Totally. I think, and something people will probably care about is this makes Derrick Rose returning a lot more likely.
Yeah.
Just, you could.
Although, I don't know how likely a return for him is with a potentially new system, and his outside shooting was very much a flash in the pan. And had they not made the moves that they made and brought in Gerson Rosas, I think, okay, maybe it's more likely, but with them wanting to be in the quote unquote modern NBA, as we've heard about 1,000 times over the past 3 weeks.
Okay, but you know that they don't just mean 3-point shooting by modern NBA.
I know.
Like, modern NBA is also the Rockets, and what do the Rockets do better than anybody else?
Isolate. Yeah.
Isolate. It's not just 3-point shooting. And what is Derrick Rose's best skill?
Isolation. I would also be very wary of him just because of the whole, you know, can't stay on the floor thing. Like the health
aspect.
There's
a lot of different ways you could go with that. But.
The health aspect is you can't trust him to be on the floor. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, he was awesome offensively when he was on the floor for the Wolves, but
that theoretically factors into what his market price is.
I think it has to.
And makes it smaller.
Yes.
Which obviously makes it a possibility for him to come back. It maybe makes it be a person that they can sign instead of Tyus Jones or instead of the mid-level guy. And I know a lot of people might not like to hear that, but Derrick Rose is on the his picture is on the renewal for season ticket packages. Yeah. Like, he is a marketable figure for the franchise, and that matters.
I wonder how much his player contract matters to him versus just being on a roster. Because he does have his contract with Adidas, that is a big money contract.
Yeah, I think it's like 12 next year still he gets.
The stipulation is that he's on a roster opening night for it to be active. Yeah. And I think that that probably matters more to him than than trying to find the biggest payday he can find. I think situation might matter more than just
the top dollar.
Well, and it makes sense because of that money coming in from Adidas and just how that works out
made
for him.
Bank too.
Like, yeah, yes, he's not exactly hurting for money. He's been around a while and made good money in the league.
I think he'll choose the Wolves, provided they want to have him, if it presents the best situation for him.
Mm-hmm.
I also think, just from what I can glean from my time around him, is being in the playoffs, and like, I think it would mean the world to Derrick Rose, the person, to have an awesome playoff series or two.
I would agree.
And if he deems that's more likely to happen on the San Antonio Spurs or the Utah Jazz or something like that.
I think the Spurs would be an incredibly interesting fit.
Yeah.
I think that would be a really, especially with
DeJounte, Derek White, that'd be actually a pretty good backup guard.
Yeah, I think that's an incredibly enticing fit if I'm Derrick Rose, I think.
And
I mean, we don't know San Antonio's interest, or at least I don't right now, but that would be a very interesting fit. I mean, and then there's the hometown angle of the Bulls. Like, that could happen.
Right. Just like with Tyus.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see Tyus's Instagram yesterday?
I did not.
So it started with an emoji of like an hourglass running out of sand, which is like, time's running out. Then it was fingers crossed, and then it was like a thinky face.
And then the number one.
Yes. Classic Minnesota passive aggressiveness. I think Tyus wants to be back and time's running out. I don't know.
Y'all Minnesotans, man.
That's part of it. You know, you're learning.
Trying to figure it out, but yeah, man.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
I know it's still early, but if you were just setting odds on Tyus being on the team next year, what do you think?
I think it's more likely than not, because I don't think he's going. And if you looked at the restricted market for his position, I think at best he's third in line, right? At best, he's behind Malcolm Brogdon. He's probably behind Terry Rozier.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
At best, you're third in line.
Restricted guys?
Yeah. Of restricted point guards. And then that's not even factoring unrestricted guys.
Sure.
But I think Malcolm Brogdon is going to get paid this summer.
Yeah.
Whether Milwaukee matches or not, I think
he should.
Yes. Oh, he 100% deserves it.
Right.
That man is going to be getting a lot of money. Terry Rozier is not going to be getting the same amount of money, but he's, I think, going to get more than Tyus Jones. And I think that the Rozier contract is going to matter a little bit to whatever
Tyus's
he gets.
Market?
Yes,
yeah.
I think that's going to help set it, because I think Tyus is probably $2 or $3 million below what Rozier could get. Maybe
D'Lo too, right?
Yes, he's restricted too.
Yeah.
But I think the Nets will probably, unless the Nets can find a way to get Kyrie or Kevin Durant, I think they match anything for D'Angelo Russell to keep him.
What about Frank Kaminsky, Danny?
Stop that.
You go to Milwaukee. It's hometown discount, just like Tyus, right? No?
Yeah, totally. Just go back to Wisconsin. just like Sam Decker's. Sam Decker's 20 minutes with the Bucks this year.
Right. It's restricted free agency is a funny thing.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. It's different. It's just different than a guy on the open market because a team, it decreases your market value if you're a restricted free agent versus an unrestricted free agent. And that's why I see people, you know, throwing out the, maybe Tyus is going to get the 7, 8, 9 million somewhere. I'm like, it's important to remember the restricted element because they need to have the space or the exception to give it to him. And it's this 3-day waiting period you're mm-hmm. signing up for where your money's committed in the offer sheet. It's strange and it decreases your market value. So that's a factor. And what I was thinking about this week with Tyus too is you could do one of those like escalating contracts.
Yeah.
So it could go like 4, 5, 6, 7. I mean, not exactly that much, but you know, you want to keep it as low as possible right now.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if you're renegotiating with him, not letting it get to the restricted market, you can find something that's beneficial for both of you.
Yeah.
I don't think Tyus is looking to like, I don't know. I mean, I don't think he's trying to just get as much as he can.
No, I don't. And I'm curious how much his family situation plays into this too. Not only him being in here, but his mother dealing with a serious illness and wanting to be close to home and being a Minnesota kid. I don't know what the financial value of that is, but I have to think it matters for something.
It definitely does. I mean, think about it as you.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't want to leave.
I wouldn't want to. I mean, I think he just bought a home in Wayzata. He's from here. His girlfriend's from here. His mm-hmm. mom's sick. His whole, his very tight knit family. Like, he wants to stay.
Yeah.
We don't know what Gerson Rosa's intrigue is in him. He did say a lot of good things about Tyus at Rosa's press conference.
Yeah.
I remember Jace asked him about that.
Yeah, he was asked about Tyus is just being a Minnesota kid and stuff like that and how much that matters. And the funniest thing about about Rosas is how often he says actions over words, but he talks a lot.
He does talk.
Like, he can talk, man.
He's got a cool voice.
Yeah. Yeah. I've liked what I've heard from him in the two encounters that we've had so far, mm-hmm. but he says actions over words a lot and he talks a lot too. There are going to be a lot of actions, I would guess.
I'm hoping. Okay, so tell me if I'm just like speaking this into existence or if you...
I'm all for speaking things into existence.
So I just think... I think it's more likely than maybe the assumption that they really crack this open this offseason and a lot of different stuff happens.
What do you mean crack it open?
Like really try and be aggressive in trading players to get financial flexibility, whether that be trading a Jang, Teague, Wiggins, obviously harder. But I don't know, more so than I would have said a month ago, and this is partially due to Rosas and what I've gathered.
Yeah, before Rosas got hired.
Yeah, I just think that I think they could get really aggressive. It will cost you to get off of all those guys. Duh, we know that. But if you're trying to start this new system, a new style of play, and what we can glean that style of play is going to look like, if Jeff Teague isn't the guy for that system, why use a whole first year as of the rebuild, whatever?
I think this is probably more of a college football thing, but we've heard when new coaches come in, it's year zero. It's not actually year one. I don't want this to be treated like, and I think PJ Fleck said that a lot. Mm-hmm. So there's probably some
Tibbs
listeners.
Did that in Minnesota the first year.
But the whole year zero thing, like that drives me crazy. No, it's mm-hmm. not. Like the clock is ticking right now on you, especially with what you brought up, what could be the Karl-Anthony Towns Armageddon Day, years in the future. The clock is ticking right now as we speak. You can't afford to have a year zero.
It's been year zero for like a decade. Like,
except for last year. Last year might have been year one when they made the playoffs. Every other year has just been year zero.
Yeah, it was still weird. If this whole aggression talk
mm-hmm.
is real, and he said, we need defenders. He said that. And he said it's his job to get defenders.
Yeah.
How are you going to do that? Really, without making big changes to the roster, the guys who are under contract are not defenders in the classic sense. Jeff Teague has a lot of skills. One of them strengths is not defense.
No.
And it hasn't been for Andrew Wiggins either.
Nope.
And even other guys who are under contract, like a Dario Saric, I don't think that's his strength.
No.
And
not everyone needs to be a great defender. but you need more than you have, because right now, like, the list is Robert Covington.
Yeah,
right. That is the list of great defenders on your team.
And maybe a Kogi. Not great.
We
not
can
great,
see.
Not great.
We can, yeah. But he could be there. He could get to there. That's you're right. That's not out of the question. That's my bad. He's maybe a Kogi soon, but not quite yet. Good. I think good is okay for him.
It's just if defense isn't an impetus of their new style of basketball, like if it really, really is, then you're talking about changing things up.
Yeah. So, and, I mean, the Patrick Beverly thing makes sense that you brought up as maybe a mid-level guy. That makes sense.
Ariza, I mean, there's a handful of them. Actually, James Ennis I like, too, who's the cheaper one. Like, but I think everyone's hearing this modern game stuff, and not only do they think that means they're going to play faster and shoot more threes, but that the players they're going to go acquire are going to be the guys who do that. And I think the modern game also means acquiring modern defenders and running a modern defense, players who fit a modern defense, which Ryan said is going to be more switch heavy.
As it should be.
Which, yeah, I think so. And I just, I don't know. I'm really not ruling out this offseason continuing to be crazy. I don't know.
It could get wild this offseason. It absolutely could.
I think most people don't think that, though. They're kind of like, oh, you got these guys on the books for a few more years. Like,
I think because, and the one of the reasons I was really enticed by Rosas is the creativity in which Houston did a lot of things. It's not as if they drafted particularly well. They found Clint Capella at, I think, 25 in the draft. That was obviously a really good pick.
Right.
But a lot of the rest of the roster, the Chris Paul trade, yes, Chris Paul could have opted out and did pick them prior to opting out. Like he said, I wanted to go to Houston. But the amount of creativity that went into actually making that deal come to fruition was pretty high-level stuff. Like, they traded for a ton of non-guaranteed players. That ended up being a 7-player deal, I think it was. 7 or 8-player deal. Like, there were guys that I had not heard of that were in that deal. I'm like, who is that? Where is he coming from? Like,
the draft rights to some European.
You're trading for DeAndre Liggins to send him to the Clippers? Like, what?
I'm not ruling out creativity or aggression at all. And it's difficult, but there's ways to do it with this roster that might be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That might be uncomfortable. Like, maybe you just traded for Dario Saric, and he's someone you like who kind of theoretically fits around Cat. That would maybe be difficult to
asset,
move off
though.
Of. That's that's what I'm saying.
It's difficult in a he's really good, you know, we don't know sense, but it's not difficult, and he's worth something. Like, he is one of the few pieces you have that's worth something. I think that there are probably two players right now that I can guarantee are on this roster next year, and that is Carl and Robert Covington. I can't see, I think he fits exactly what they want, so I can't see them moving on from him unless it's a steal for them, but I think that those two are safe.
And then there's just a lot of bigs.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of bigs, so that by the product of volume, the pieces that you can most like easily get off of or afford to get off of are, it would be another big. So I don't know. I like Saric. I'd like to see a full season of him. But if that's, I mean, he's only making $3.5 million next year. If that's something a team really views as an asset, and you can, it allows you to crack things open and do things a little bit differently, maybe then you have a front court spot available to draft a Brandon Clark.
Yeah.
That where they, as what I'm seeing from mock drafts and what I've been able to gather, is there's a lot of bigs late lottery.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's kind of an influx there, and it's not what your team needs. If you can repurpose the Saric asset into a creator slash shooter and then replace him with another big for, I don't know, a rookie or something, but that, yeah, I see paths to change.
Yes, there definitely are paths to change. And you brought up a name that I want to talk about because you were at the Combine last week. That's why you and I didn't do a podcast together. You did talk to Brandon Clark. What were your initial thoughts there? Because he's someone that I've seen, and I have mocked to the Timberwolves myself, that I've seen mocked at number 11 and number 10 prior to the lottery taking place over and over and over again. What were your initial thoughts? What do you think the fit would be like?
Okay, so I'll go with the fit. I'm going to go with like the person.
Whatever
first.
You
like,
want.
Brandon Clark is like awesome as a person, and that was just not just from my interactions from him. Like, in talking to other people, there is like one of like the best people that, you know. And he's mature. He's 23. Like,
yeah, that's,
and you're talking about a whole cultural reset sort of thing. Like that matters. Not all the other guys there that are going to be rookies are like that. Like,
isn't it crazy? He's Carl's age.
Yes.
Like. Carl is about to start his second contract in the NBA, and Brandon Clark is essentially the same age as him. A year younger, I think.
So before, that's one of the negatives. Before we get into the negatives,
you could spin that the other way though. If you want to win now, I do think maybe someone that's
might not be
as high of a ceiling guy, but I think his floor is a little bit higher, and I think that he's going to be able to quickly adjust because of that maturity level already too. That you could spin it either way. I get where you're going.
He measured a really short wingspan, 6'8", and only weighs 207, which is about 20 pounds lighter than what Robert Covington is listed at. So just for kind of body frame standpoint, they're the same height.
And Covington's got longer arms, too.
Covington's got
I don't know
way
his wingspan
arms.
Off the top of my head, 7'2", but I know
so
it's not,
like six
it's
inches
not 6'8 and a quarter.
But Covington's not exactly a burly guy.
Yes.
So Clark isn't a big burly guy either. He holds a little more weight because his arms are shorter. But I'm not super concerned about that. What I'm concerned about from a fit standpoint is I believe that on this team, particularly when in your core, as we assume, is Josh Okogie and Andrew Wiggins, not strong shooters, to draft another shooter. Maybe this is your last lottery pick.
Yeah.
For a while. Like,
if you're the Wolves, you certainly hope so.
You certainly hope so. Are you willing to commit to that player being a very, very good defender and not a shooter, like, at all? Are you willing to commit to that? I don't know. I just think, particularly on the offensive end, another big is not your biggest need. Like, where does this 23-year-old ready to play now guy play next season? You have Kat obviously getting 35 minutes a night at center, and Saric probably getting, as it stands now, 32 minutes a night. I think Covington's going to play small ball four. That eats up more of the front court minutes. Like, where does Brandon Clark play?
Yeah,
and he might be a really good player, and he might be better than drafting a Romeo Langford. That I think Clark is probably the best player available over some of those other guys, but fit matters here too, particularly as it pertains to the Wolves' big roster.
Yeah, and it's going to depend how the top 10 picks shake out. Like if Siku Dumboya, I think it is. That's a name that it's tough for me to pronounce so far. I'll get it at some point. I believe it is Siku Dumboya. If I'm pronouncing that wrong, I'm sorry, Siku. Yeah. But he's a guy that's looked at as a project, but he could be a really high ceiling type guy. So you have to weigh, okay, maybe is that a better play for us? Is Kevin Porter Jr., who got dismissed from USC but is thought of as a top five talent, but there are character concerns. Do you want to take a gamble there where guard is a position of need, and his limited time in Southern Cal did shoot over 40% from three?
I really think you got to check one of the creator slash shooter boxes.
Yeah.
And Clark doesn't do that. If you shake up the roster a little bit, if you're doing the crack it open, get an aggressive thing, I get it a little bit more. But this is 2 years ago when he redshirted at Gonzaga and he didn't play at all. And he said it was really helpful for him because my form needed a really big tweak to it. I was shooting on the side of my head pretty much. I didn't really shoot many threes. those are, to me, that's honesty, but those are also red flags that we know.
Yeah.
Talent evaluators know. About Clark, that this probably is, he's not going to turn into some sort of even, average 3-point shooter. Like, what if he's just Taj Gibson again, who occasionally shoots corner threes? Like, we saw how that got in the way. We've seen how Gorgui Dieng not shooting threes has gotten Kat's way. I have concerns about that, but I know other people have seen way more than him at Gonzaga than I have. I'm really talking fit and my own philosophical view of how to pursue roster construction. Clark could be a heck of a defender in the league for a long time.
The wingspan does worry me a little bit. He is really bouncy, it seems.
Yeah.
And how that ages also worries me. That's a thing where you're not getting him at 19 years old and he's going to be bouncy for a long time.
Sure.
You're getting him at 23. He might only have 4 or 5 years of that. And that's something that could worry me too. Just the
really bouncy though.
Yes. Oh yeah. For being his size, the amount of shots that he blocks. And I've gone back and watched some of him, not every single game, but I've watched more than one game of him playing and it's impressive what he can do defensively. I will say that.
And so what he said at the combine was that he has a workout scheduled with the Wolves in June, and he'll be coming in here, and all the other workouts he has scheduled too are kind of those late lottery guys, kind of in like the 11 where the Wolves are ranged to 17, which isn't to say he couldn't go up above or below that, but that's where he's
very
expecting.
Fluid right now on May 23rd.
He said that's the range I'm expecting to be drafted in.
Yeah.
And so the Wolves are there. Personally, as someone who does not you know, pretend to be like Jonathan Givony as it pertains to the draft.
You didn't watch every college basketball game this year?
No, I did not. So I don't know. It's not like I would be like ticked off if they took him or something. It would show me a greater commitment to defense, mm-hmm. and also, you know, probably that other changes are coming. I just think, on a really simple level, I think he's a big man, Josh Okogie.
I do think that it'll be a tip-off to what the rest of the offseason is going to look like, what that number 11 pick is. Because if it is Brandon Clark, you can, like you just said, mm-hmm. there might be some serious changes on the way. If it's somewhere else, you could say, mm-hmm. okay, maybe the roster is going to look pretty similar to what it looked like at the end of last year with this guy as an addition, maybe a couple tweaks here and there. But I think that the draft pick at number 11 will be something
that
will
tip us off. Yeah, like if it's Romeo Langford, then maybe Rose is less likely to come back because he theoretically fits that kind of creator role, maybe off the bench. Mm-hmm. So it's the first domino.
Yeah.
Or the next domino.
And there is one guy that I do think will be a great player in this league, but it would be a total overdrafted 11, and that's Tyler Hero from Kentucky. I think that he's going to be an awesome 3-and-D guy, and the Wolves need more of those, but I just can't see them taking him at 11.
He's an intense dude. Like, he was like the most, when we had the chance to interview the people, it's like, okay, you seem kind of like mean.
He can shoot.
I don't even think that's a bad thing. I was okay, this is interesting. And he was bigger than I thought.
He measured really well. I think he measured better than a lot of people had expected him to, but he can shoot. He's going to be I think he'll come in as probably an average defender, and I think he can get to that plus defender type mm-hmm. range, but I think he's someone that's going to be around in the NBA for a long time, and he's got a skill set that the Wolves desperately need.
Right. Well, and this all just, like you said, he probably goes later than 11, mm-hmm. as Brandon Clark might too, or a lot of these guys. If there's not a guy who screams the right fit for you at 11, trading back makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And that leads to, a lot of different, that's how you could start cracking it open.
Mm-hmm. And but you also have to find a partner, and you have to find a partner in that, like, 16 to 19 range too. So it's not as if you're just searching the NBA for partners. Mm-hmm. You need to find a partner where you're comfortable finding a fit where you can get a good player. It's a complicated thing to try and do.
If they get late first though, and obviously now you're sacrificing some quality of the player, you cut like $2 million off the salary too. Mm-hmm. And that for the Wolves,
it
like
matters.
Normally that's not what you're like calculating into your rookie evaluation, but
here we are.
Exactly right.
All right, I want to talk about the Eastern Conference Finals a little bit before we get out of here, because the Western Conference Finals were a bit of a joke. Eastern Conference Finals have been awesome, though. Game 5 is tonight, so by the time you're listening to this, this might be over, but if not, you're going to get our thoughts before then. I won't even be able to watch Game 5 tonight. I'll be on a plane. So
where are you going?
I'm going to Cleveland for the weekend, Memorial Day weekend. I haven't been home since Thanksgiving, so it's been a long time coming. Super excited for it, but I will miss Game 5 tonight. I'll be in the air for the majority of it. What have you seen so far through the first four games?
I've enjoyed it.
It's been so much fun.
Yeah. I think the like alarm bells right now are kind of going off surrounding Milwaukee, and I think that's a little bit overrated. Mm-hmm. Just because they haven't played great thus far, and I mean, just going back to the double overtime game, where three of their best players really didn't shoot the ball at all.
You can make an argument neither team played well in that game.
They're just kind of their styles against each other, and maybe that's just a credit to their defense. You know, it just kind of flattens out mm-hmm. the other team's offense. You're not seeing these like dominant offensive performances. You're getting like the point totals from Kawhi, but it's like 8 of 20.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing.
Well, and even in game 4, the first quarter, I think it was 32-31, or like Toronto had a 1-point lead after the first quarter, I believe, but it felt like they never missed, and they still, they didn't even come close to a 40-point quarter, but it felt like they just didn't miss any shots, and that's a credit to the defense too.
Obviously the big defensive sort of shift that's changed the series a lot is the way that Kawhi can handle Giannis.
Because the first two games, it was Pascal Siakam was Giannis's primary defender, and they've put Kawhi on him, and Kawhi has made him look incredibly uncomfortable. And that's something that Giannis hasn't had to deal with at all this season. There have been very, very few moments when he's been uncomfortable in the least bit on the floor. And in Toronto, with Kawhi guarding him, he looks, I don't want to say like a shell of himself, but he does not look like an MVP.
I do think, though, what I liked out of Giannis in Game 4 was that he was willing to admit that he'd ran into the wall, and he was better than I'd seen him do for much of the season, deliver passes to the corner to open guys. And I think that's a stride forward for Giannis. I mean, Giannis has just been this sort of imperfectly dominant player who it's kind of messy. And now you're seeing a little bit of creativity and a little more, it's been a little more smooth for him. I mean, maybe not when he's airballing threes and free throws.
Yeah, but that's not smooth.
Not smooth. But his like attack game has all year has just been erratic. And it was good for me to see him slow down a little bit and acknowledge that, like, you know what? Kawhi is the best defender. This might not be our best option in a lot of situations for me to just try and go through him. And it's not just Kawhi. Like, you have guys on both the right side and the left side coming in to, you know, to stunt in. So it is leaving Mirotić and those shooters open in the corner. And that could be, like, what that could lead to tonight, maybe, or one of the games, is a dominant shooting performance by Milwaukee.
It could.
And I don't know. I just don't think Toronto has the firepower to counter that at all.
Yeah, I mean, when Milwaukee's hitting their shots, it feels like Golden State at times where there's just nothing you can do to stop it. And credit to them for coming up with that. But at other times, it feels like they're helpless on the floor. And especially when Eric Bledsoe has just been flat out bad. Like, he's been borderline unplayable in this series. And
they're bad. The difference with them is, like, their bad is so much worse than the Warriors' bad.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Like, when they're rolling, you're like, oof.
Yeah, they can score 10 points in the snap of a finger, and you just they score 10, 12 points before you know what hit you. But their lows, their valleys are terrible. Yes.
Some really gross possessions. And I think, you know, if I was Bud, what I would try and do to counter this, particularly as Toronto's found a pretty good counterattack to Giannis, is get out and play with more pace.
Yeah.
And try and... You're trying to attack a moving defense because Toronto's found a pretty good set half-court defense.
Milwaukee's really struggling to score in the half-court. Yeah. I forget what the number is, but they're like...
Yeah, I think I heard on one of those podcasts.
Yeah, it's like less than a point per possession in the half-court. It is like it would have ranked 30th in the NBA for the full season, Toronto's done in the half-court.
And in like the fourth quarter, particularly the last 5 minutes, you're going to have to slow down to that half-court offense.
Yeah, that's how it goes in the playoffs.
But along the way, the first three quarters... If you can get out and run and play in transition more, particularly when guys are sitting for Toronto, whatever, like gather up 5-6 more points over the course of the game, build up a little bit more of a lead or come back a little bit more, like that makes a difference. It's not just about what happens in the last 5 minutes of the game. It's about what the score was once you got to the last five minutes.
Yeah, so. I mean, you got to get there.
It's part of the journey.
I've really been impressed with Kawhi though, because he's pretty clearly playing hurt too while he's doing this defensively. And Toronto has kind of figured something out where they're letting him kind of take every other possession off on the offensive end. It kind of feels like that there's a lot of him just standing around and not doing much on the offensive end. And then he's giving everything he's got defensively, and they've been able to get back into the series by doing that. And that's not something I expected to happen.
Jimmy Butler, Timberwolves.
Yes. Very much so. With better defense, I think we could say.
That's fair.
I mean, Jimmy's a fine defender, but he's no Kawhi.
Yeah. Well, and Kawhi's got better surrounding defensive pieces.
Also true, Jimmy yes. did. I mean, he's got two guys on the wing that also got all defensive votes.
This is totally going in a different direction, but I just...
Bring it.
I looked up Kat's stats. Just defensively, and obviously, you know, I wrote a lot about this year, how Kat made some big strides defensively. I really believe that.
Yeah, like, I do too. I'm with you on that.
In his physical profile, his awareness, a whole lot of different things. But this was, even under Ryan, it was his third straight coach that the team has performed better with him on the bench than with him on the floor defensively.
First of all, it's wild that you say third straight coach because like how long has he been in the league? It's his third straight coach. But that's an interesting number to look at. How big's the gap?
Well, it depends. So the first Tibbs year, 2016-17, where Tibbs was like, we're just going to be the Bulls again. And they like schematically, they tried to be. And so the difference was that with Kat on the floor, their defensive rating was 111.4. And with him off, it was 101.7.
Oof.
Massive. That was 2016-17. The gap shrunk the next year. It was like half a point. It was a bigger gap again this most recent year under Tibbs. And then under Ryan, it was only a half a point difference. But still, every single time. And under Sam Mitchell too. Every single time, it was a a difference.
Why do you think that is?
I think there's a lot of factors. This year, as you get, this is why defensive rating numbers are all kind of silly and require so much context.
Yes.
And why we can't just say Cat's a bad defender and this is his worst year ever.
Correct.
It's like, okay, so think about how good the Wolves were in those 22 games with Covington on the floor. Mm-hmm. Defensively, right?
Oh, they were awesome. Yeah.
But remember how they staggered the rotation? So Covington was the once he was the guy in with the whole second unit.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole team's
and
defensive
that bench unit was like the best five-man unit in the NBA for a little while.
Which defensively, yeah. You know, that factors into Cat's off the floor for that. So that shifts the numbers. I understand that was under Tibbs, but like that, you know, that's a big factor. Next year, and which will be interesting to see, do they go back to that again and have Covington be the starter who plays with the second unit?
Yeah.
Do they have that be Wiggins? Do they have that back in the first year they had Towns be that guy that sub out early, start the second quarter? So it's about who he's around, and he's just never been consistently around other good defenders. And I think that's just the reality of Cat's defense.
Sure.
Is he needs that.
Yeah,
he needs that. So I totally took us off of Toronto, but I was thinking about defense.
I'm all good. It's not a worry for me. But that's where we're going to wrap up. Thanks for listening.
What, can I ask you real quick?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I want to. Who do you think will win Milwaukee, Toronto, and who do you want to win?
I want Toronto to win because I admire the way that Masai Ujiri went all in, and they said this is it for us. Like we are going to make the finals this year, or we're probably never going to do it. Like I admire that they traded arguably the most beloved player in Raptors history for a much better player. I really think that took a lot of guts, and I do kind of wish they would have gone more all in at the trade deadline. Like I think they could have traded for Anthony Davis. Like I think they had a package that could have gotten it done. I think if you trade Pascal Siakam and instead of trading for Marc Gasol, obviously you're trading for Anthony Davis. So you have the Valanciunas Junior's contract that made money work, DeLon Wright, OG Anunoby, and Siakam. Yeah. I think that probably gets it done and throwing a one, too. That might get that deal done. So you could have had Kyle Lowry and Kawhi Leonard and Anthony Davis, and you're like, oh, we are winning the East. Like, we might win the finals now. But I want to see that rewarded for them. And I do kind of feel bad for their fans. Like, they've had some really good teams over the past couple of years, and they just ran into the steamroller in the Eastern Conference that was LeBron James. I picked them in seven. As soon as I pressed send on picking them in seven, I instantly felt less confident in it. I do feel more confident after games.
So you do think Toronto's going to win, too? You also think they're going to win?
I'm very, very 50-50 on it. Nothing would surprise me. I picked Toronto the day they acquired Kawhi. I'm like, that team's going to win the East. Like, yeah. I was a believer in them. I can't go back right now with them two wins away from going to the finals.
Right.
But I do think Milwaukee would give Golden State a better chance. So I think the finals would be better if Milwaukee is involved in it. But I could see Toronto winning this series. Yeah. And I kind of want that to happen. What about you?
I guess that's what I'm kind of torn on is, so is who I want is who I want to win the team who gives Golden State the hardest time?
Sure.
I think so. But I think that's Milwaukee, and yet I still find myself like kind of I'm interested in seeing Kawhi play.
Yeah.
It would be like LeBron against the Warriors.
Yeah.
Which worked once.
Well, I mean, that LeBron team had LeBron's, aside from the 2018 final, well, and okay, the 16 and 17 finals, LeBron had a very legitimate supporting cast. Mm-hmm. Like that 2017 Cavs team. You could make an argument they were better than the team that won the title. It's
totally.
Just the team that they had to beat had Kevin Durant this time, and they didn't the time before. The 15 team, I mean, it was him and a bunch of nobodies because Kyrie broke his knee and Kevin Love dislocated his shoulder.
Deli.
And then, Matthew Dellavedova, who had to go to the hospital in the middle of the series from dehydration. And then the 2018 team, I mean, Jeff Green was the second best player at times, which...
It's not great.
No, not great for a finals team. So,
I think Milwaukee's going to win the series.
You think it goes? I think it goes seven either way. Do you?
Six or seven. Five
anymore.
No, I don't feel confidence. I would not be surprised if Milwaukee wins.
Okay. I feel like Giannis is kind of shook in that building in Toronto. That's the feeling I got through the first two games. I'm not sure they can win a game there. They could, but I'm not confident in them doing so.
I don't need to wrap up.
I don't care.
I watched the Bucks-Raptors game after the fact the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so you see all the stuff about...
Four. Okay.
And about how Giannis was shook by Drake and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched the first half of the game. I'm like...
The first quarter, he came out...
I was like, Giannis doesn't look shook to me. Like, he looks like a beast.
In the first quarter, he came out and he was on fire. He was getting to the rim. It looked like, because Giannis is a great player, but Giannis doesn't have any moments right now. And I think that that's the way we kind of think of a lot of guys, is they have, like, LeBron just has a long list of moments. Kevin Durant, a long list of playoff moments. And this is Giannis's fourth time in the playoffs, and he doesn't have moments. And I was thinking,
he also doesn't have a jump shot. That hurts.
Yes, you're right. It does.
Moments.
But Shaq had plenty of moments.
That's true.
So I'm thinking tonight could be that night for Giannis. Yeah. Tonight could be that first big moment where he takes that throne. Mm-hmm. And that first quarter, I'm like, this really could be it. And then he settled down and he wasn't the same guy after that first quarter.
Yeah. I've been heavy on, thought it was going to be Milwaukee all along, and that comes out of the East. And this is the least confident I've been.
Okay,
like sliding more towards 50%, but I would still pick Milwaukee. And I think it's just they got the top to bottom best team, though wildly frustrating, and their coach frustrates me too.
Yeah, and I think there's the reason that it is what it is Giannis has not been the best player in the series, and I think that that's mm-hmm. something that Milwaukee matters. Thought they could count on every single series that they had until the finals when sure. he's not the best player. But in the East, they could count on him always being the best player, and that's not been the case here, and that does matter a lot.
Right. Let's see.
Yeah. All right. Game 5 tonight. I wish I could watch that, but I won't be able to watch it till tomorrow morning when I already know
the
outcome.
What about your flight? There's sometimes in flight.
Okay. In flight Wi-Fi is not going.
No. In flight, like TV. Oh, what are you flying?
I'm flying Delta, but it's the jet that, because it's a short flight, like it's only an hour and a half. It's not the big Delta plane, so there's no TV on it. There is in-flight Wi-Fi, but
it never works.
The $10 Wi-Fi for an hour and a half will not be strong enough for me to stream a game on my Watch TNT app on my phone.
That's true.
So that's really unfortunate. I'll spend the flight writing, honestly. But Dane, thanks for doing this. We'll be back next week. Maybe some schedule changes coming. Manny Hill might be back on with Dane and I. But be sure to stay tuned for that. You can find this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the all-new Score North app that's available in the iTunes Store and the Google Play Store. Be sure to check it out there. Until next time, I'm Danny Cunningham.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.